And welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
And Douglas, sadly, still in rehab.
If you don't think you've heard from us in a while, it's because I did a shit job recording this shit last week.
Don't be so hard on yourself. It will drive you to the bottle. You know, your family has a history of alcohol abuse.
Funny part is there is a member of my family who is, has a history of alcohol abuse, but we'll move along into our usual foray, you know, what we watch this week.
Sure.
And I guess I'll start it out. I finally got to see, you know, the movie I've been waiting to see all this time, Nine. The musical Nine, not the animated one. I saw that one a while back. Okay. Musical one, not really.
Wow, this movie must be really terrible. For those of you that don't know, Andrew will watch any musical.
I will.
And I've never heard him actually say musical and bad in the same sentence. Even though he's still refusing to say that the movie's bad. But I can tell from the look on his face that
the movie... I kind of... A few weeks beforehand, I had watched 8.5, which is the movie it's originally based on. Right. And even though I'm not a huge fan of that film, you ever watch movies where you're not a fan of how it's going, but at the same time, you get this deep, dark feeling that you're just not getting it rather than it's bad? That's what I got. That's what I got when I was watching 8.5, and I could see the interesting points of it. However, with 9, they took out every bit of the story that was interesting, of the characters that was interesting, so and just through music. Yeah. And I mean, a few of the songs were really good. Like, I think my favorite song was My Husband Makes Movies by Marion Cotillard. She can really sing. I didn't know that. She has another song which I like. There's...
What about the Be Italian song?
I like that one. That's like my third favorite song, Be Italian. And the one that you guys didn't like, which was in the second trailer, is my second favorite. I like things with Italian Cinema by Kate Hudson. I like that song. It's really good.
I'm never watching
it. Oh, you said Andrew of all people didn't like it.
Andrew don't like it. Like, there's really no chance of me. I won't even attempt to watch this movie. So, a waste of time.
Absolutely
waste of time.
I also watched, what was that other movie I went to the theater and I watched Daybreakers. Also, not a very good movie.
Basically, every review I've read, that's the long and short of it. Yeah, you can go and see it, but there's too many caveats being thrown around with this movie. No one will give me a definite, yeah, you need to go watch this movie. Everybody is kind of wishy-washy on their
To tell the truth, the only thing I liked about this movie, in all essence, was Willem Dafoe. He played a character whose nickname was Elvis.
He's winning.
and he's just pretty much awesome.
Like, can you hate him? I've never... Have you come across him in a movie and you just went, no, you don't like
him? No.
He's just too good.
Oh, it's just plain bad. Like,
man, who's his charisma? So, are you going to see Legion?
I'm thinking about it.
I find...
Three times in a row!
It's awesome.
Do you like tell people to just call you?
I have no idea what they keep doing. Right,
Daybreakers. Right. They cure vampires again.
Wow.
Just like Nerdark.
Is it the same method?
No, not the same method. But it's just as laughable. Okay, it's just as laughable when you find out how they do it.
Wow.
Oh, and worse, how they discover it.
I finally saw the Legion trailer. I was doing my best to avoid it. The second I found out that Tyrese was in that movie, I kind of wrote it off. Cause
Tyrese? In Daybreakers?
No, what Legion. Talking?
Oh, Legion. Right. Jumping from... Sorry. Confused.
But then I saw it at the theater. And that movie looks dumb.
I said that from the first trailer that came out. It looks really dumb. Are you?
I don't know.
Have you made it out to the theater since Avatar?
Yes, I have.
For what?
For the movie that you hate and the Book of Eli.
Oh.
And I have strong words, but
okay, we'll let that go for the moment. Other movies I've watched this week. I watched Pontypool.
Oh.
which is a really good movie. It stars, I can't remember his name, Makati. He was the old Night Owl in Watchmen.
Oh, okay.
He is this radio broadcaster in this small town in Canada, and shit's going on, but you don't really see anything. You just hear people calling in, and you hear all these noises of zombies, and you have to be with this guy, and you're thinking to yourself, if I was that radio broadcaster, at first I'd be saying someone's fucking with me. Second, I'd be going, not really sure. And then eventually it keeps gradually going until, it does kind of jump the shark when they explain how the zombification and the virus, they use virus, is going around. But to tell the truth, in the context of this film, it totally was fine with me. It was fun and I loved it. It's a great movie.
am I the only one that's getting like a zombie fatigue thing?
No, because you see, the thing about it is, like, I don't really think that it's zombie I'm getting all the while, because, I mean, last year we had Zombieland, and there was another huge zombie movie last year, wasn't there? I can't really remember. But I don't really see that many
zombie
together, you know, it's not like...
I guess because we don't watch a lot of horror films.
Yeah, we kind of try to avoid horror films in general.
Yeah, they're usually bad.
Another film I watched this week was Give 'Em Hell Malone, the craziest, I think it's straight to video because I don't remember this coming out in theaters, film with Tom Jane and Ving Rhames. And the only thing you need to know to get to this movie is that there's a scene in which Ving Rhames is walking into a hotel. A man says, "Stop, you need access to go there." Ving Rhames punches him in the face, breaks his nose, walks into the elevator and tells the second guy, "Next time the new guy sees me, tell him to let the big black motherfucker through." This movie is over the top. It's hilarious. It's almost in the vein of a Black Dynamite, but just not that far. Oh. It's not. It is taking fun of itself, but it's not laugh out loud fun of itself. And some of the characters are just fun to watch. Like this, there's this dude who plays this character called Matchstick, and he's totally hamming it up. He's totally trying to go for like a Heath Ledger Dark Knight kind of role.
Right.
But even since you just know it's just a joke, you kind of go with it, and it's a fun watch. It's a fun movie. and the last movie I watched this week, because I was a bitter, bitter person, was I watched Trucker. And it is a nice movie. It's not a great movie, but it's a nice movie. Monahan and Fillion work well together, and it's a good story about this woman who's getting back in touch with her son after 11 years. Okay. It's a nice story. Nothing really out there special, but yeah. And I guess that's what I watch this week.
So I also watch Trucker. I tend to watch all the movies on the list, even though I have one, well, two at this point.
Yes, you're cheating.
That's it. Not a fan of Trucker. Not really. The movie, it's mediocre. The story is not special. The acting, I mean, it feels like a Lifetime movie. The entire time I was watching it, I was saying, this movie should be on Lifetime. I should not be sitting here. What if all I need now is some terrible commercials about gardening and it's perfect. But I was really disappointed in that movie. I'm glad that we don't have to review this.
But you're reviewing it right now.
Going in depth with this movie.
Be really short.
Like, oh, this movie should go on Lifetime. But this was the only movie. Right. So, also saw Book of Eli. Went back to care. It's very sad.
What did you think of your Book of Eli screening, which wasn't in digital?
First of all,
let's hear him repeat everything he said last time.
Like, I've just decided to lower my expectations.
Okay,
I mean, it's gone to the point now where, I see it and it annoys me, but there's nothing better that is being offered. I mean, I can't wait the 3 months, between 3 and 5 months max. Most DVDs, Blu-rays come out within 3 to 6 months, and then watch it properly. But I mean, like at the start of the movie, there's a scene where he's sitting in a forest and there's ash falling down, and he has a bow and there's a cat walking past eating, foraging for food, and he shoots the bow, and what they do is they slow it down, right?
Mm-hmm.
To produce a cool effect of it actually hitting through
the 300 the effect,
right? Except the quality is so low that I know that that is the effect that they were going for, but I couldn't see it. It just looked like a gray fuzziness going across the screen, and then they slowed down the gray fuzziness that didn't help it at all. There's like the edges of the screen were blurry, and of course the audio is tragic. But I enjoyed that movie thoroughly. I cannot believe you gave that movie a 4. You, sir, are a cokehead. The movie isn't perfect. The movie isn't perfect, Andrew. But a 4, really?
Really?
I hate Mila Kunis, right? And I hate the ending of that movie.
What did you think of, like, how that fit in? Did you ever, like,
it suffers from sympathy for Lady Vengeance-itis, where they had a perfect ending for the movie, and then they went, you know what? We have some extra film. Let's use it up. I mean, we can't send it back. So we might as well destroy the ending of the movie with one final scene, which is completely. I'm progressively hating Mila Kunis more and more.
Can't wait for Black Swan.
The only thing I've ever liked her in was That 70s Show.
Not even Sarah Marshall?
No.
Whoa.
Nope.
Can't wait for Black Swan.
No, I mean, you were saying, in your review, you were saying that they didn't use the post-apocalyptic thing to great effect. What more effect did you want them to use it? I don't understand. What else? What was it that you thought should have been there that wasn't there?
Oh, going back in time, trying to remember thoughts. my huge problem was that while they were in the setting and they were dealing with this lawless land,
right?
And I guess one of my huge problems was the religious backtones, right? But when it came to the setting and trying to deal with the setting and all the characters that were there, you had Gary Oldman versus Denzel Washington.
Right.
And it was basically a glorified action scene whenever they needed it. But to show us how this world not just came here, but how people are actually surviving and throwing through. You see a couple of things like the old people.
Right.
But that's it. They don't give you anything really for that setting.
No. they showed you, like, in fact, the opening 20 minutes gave you pretty much all... all the information he needed as to how...
Because he's not getting that hand back.
Exactly. There were people who were cannibals, which you kind of expect. And then there was this place where somehow some dude found water, right? And so they were able to build a town around it. And they traded things. It was a barter system. There was no need for money. You couldn't buy anything. So he sold, like, cat oil and the KFC napkins to keep people, because there's no soap, right? There's clearly things that they were using to barter, and I was just glad that they weren't trying to use like coins or anything. The things that they were trading actually made sense, and you know, he was trying to get a charge for a battery to run his iPod,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, stuff like that. That's actually what would feasibly happen, you know, post a nuclear strike, and they didn't even come out and call it a nuclear strike. There was one mention towards it, and it's like back before the Flash.
And that's I kind of took that to mean
and you saw the creators on the ground, right? I mean, there's a couple neat things that I have with the movie, but to get into it, I have to get into the spoiler that's at the end, and the twist. I'm not looking forward to seeing that movie again, knowing what I know now. Because it's not a twist like M. Night where it flips everything on its head. It's it kind of makes sense when you look at it. Like, when you look at in retrospect...
No, there are definitely a few points where they made sure that it looked like it was feasible.
Right.
And then they gave you the twist, and you would generally go back and think, what? And I definitely thought to myself, when that came, that I do want to look back at it and see if everything would work out perfectly with that fact in check. But that means I'd have to watch a movie again.
Part of it is that I'm a sucker for these types of movies. That may be a part of it. And after I saw the movie, because Andrew had told me how he felt about the movie already, I went back to Andrew's site where he had put up previously a list of the top 10.
Just to let you know, even though it wouldn't have made it anyways, yeah. I hadn't seen The Book of Eli yet.
Fair enough. It would not have made my top 10 either, although I do enjoy the movie. Univarin made a comment after he put up the article and said, he basically pointed out two movies, well, three, but I don't agree with Terminator.
That didn't work in my ruling.
but 12 Monkeys and Mad Max. Now, Mad Max is the greatest movie of all time, Andrew. Mad Max 2 is probably one of the... I mean, that movie is phenomenal. And the fact that you don't have it anywhere on your list should be punishable by death. Like, honestly, at this point.
I've mentioned it before. I haven't seen 12 Monkeys. Kind of sad. Right. Yes, move on. I haven't seen any of the Mad Max sequels. I've seen the first one. It was fighting to get in. I didn't want to put it in for some reason.
Like, all right, so you put Knowing on the list.
I love that movie. That you know that. Garbage. You know I love that movie.
But the movie's garbage.
So we can...
Objectively, the movie's garbage.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. All right. So the acting is bad. The story makes zero sense. Right? There are a few...
Makes more sense than the Book of Eli.
Wow. Why is that stretched? There's two action scenes in that movie. Two events, because it's not really action scenes. Two events in that movie.
That's like saying there are no action scenes in 2012.
Where a plane crashes. Right? And then fire burns on everything. There's like two. And they really aren't that epic. And the movie doesn't make any sense. Then you have Equilibrium. Really, Andrew?
That's after the apocalypse, after World War III. That movie's awesome.
Yes. Alright, fair enough. Zombieland, no.
No love for Zombieland at all? Mm. Like, you didn't like
it? No, I love Zombieland, but it shouldn't be on the list. And, I mean, of course, Wally, because you're a cokehead, puts that too. Of course, it's the number two put. Yeah, I'm sure it is. So you left off movies like Independence Day, Fifth Element.
No, you see,
Escape from New York.
All right, not Escape from New York, but Fifth Element and Independence Day are void. They don't count because of the ruling for the list. The ruling for the list was that the world has to end. The people can't just save the world and it's done. It has to end.
Dude, in
Fifth Element wasn't after anything.
But in Independence Day, they kind of tore up the world. They were living in deserts.
That's the equivalent of, you know, someone getting a tornado hit a town.
Alright, so I'm taking off Doctor Strange. You have Akira, which shouldn't be there. Based on your ruling. At the end of the movie, there was something that would trigger.
No, but at the beginning of the movie, there was the Akira apocalypse.
No.
It was Neo Tokyo. They were
Right. But it wasn't the world. It was one spot. Because if you're going to use that, then I can say Cloverfield. The Road, have you seen The Road?
No, I put that at the top. I hadn't watched it yet. Okay. But I've read the book and it should make the list.
And how did Nausicaa not end up on the list?
Shit, I never thought of that one as an end of the world kind of thing. Shit, yeah. I never even went to Miyazaki in my head. Never even went to Miyazaki. Whoa. Yeah, that probably...
A lot of omissions and some really stupid choices on this list.
Can I tell you, I've written up a top 10 revenge film for the film stage, and that should go up either tonight or tomorrow.
It's just all... Old Boy.
The Old Boy's on it. Sympathy is... I still haven't watched Mister, so that's not there.
You really should. I prefer...
No, I want to watch it just to complete it, but I don't think it can top Old Boy or Lady.
What about Revenge of the Drunken Master, no?
Anyways, what else have you watched this week? What else have you watched this week?
Alright, what else have I seen this week? Also, when I was a couple of series, I saw Top Gear in HD, finally. Thank you.
What are you guys talking about? The cars look nice, move on.
They look nicer. I finally finished up Community. That's awesome. The only other movie that I'll talk about that I saw this week, because all of the others were old movies that I was watching with other people. Brief Interviews with Hideous Men.
I was meaning to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
With Julian Nicholson and Timothy Hutton. I'm not a fan of this movie, because it is not really... The structure of the movie is very strange. I've seen it done before where they try to mix a movie with an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And it's multiple interviews, and then it's spliced up with the movie in between, and then they add another layer on top of it where there's two people who are essentially psychoanalyzing all of the plot points in the movie, and it is convoluted, and at the end of the movie you feel kind of cheated, because you felt that there was maybe a good movie in here somewhere, but they were so busy psychoanalyzing things that nobody in their right mind would think about, that they just lost their way somewhere along the path, and don't understand why they did it. They had enough interviews to make it, you know, a good movie. They had enough actors, and I just don't know where they veered off. It's just not a fulfilling movie at all. Right? You just feel slighted. Like you know something is. You could have gotten something from the movie, but you just didn't.
Sad. Yeah, that's I was looking forward to it. Maybe just to see what John Krasinski would do as a director. Because I like him as an actor.
Right. But not a fan. Hopefully he'll do better on his next outing. Or never direct again either way.
And that's it?
Yes, that's it.
And with that, we'll move into news. This week, first news item that came out that I want to talk about, Sam Worthington. Looks like he might just be in Alex Proyas' next film, which is Dracula Year One, and he might be playing lead Dracula. We've seen him in Terminator Salvation, we've seen him in Avatar, we've seen him in other movies that I can't remember right now. What do you think of Sam Worthington, and better yet, even as a vampire for Alex Proyas, who's done films that we can all name, like Knowing?
What does Alex Proyas do?
He did Dark City.
Right. I knew I liked him. I don't
remember why. I was trying not to mention that one.
Right. So Sam Worthington. Not a big fan of Sam Worthington. All the movies I've seen him in have been at best middling. Terminator Salvation, we all know how that turned out. And Avatar, despite making
Fillion.
I hear that America is now out of the recession. So this one movie is kind of ridiculous. They've put it as part of the economic.
I think Obama came and he shook James Cameron's hand. He was like, thank you.
Obama used his clear voice to see that Avatar would make a couple billion. And said, that is what we need. 1 year into my presidency, that is exactly what's going to happen. to get us out of this situation.
Nah, Obama was like, I won. Holy shit, there's a James Cameron movie coming out soon.
Thank you. Only Will Smith would do good movies again. And we'd be set.
Personally, I really don't think much of Sam Worthington as an actor. I mean, I'm not even talking about the films he's in, like how the films turned out, but him, he just seems normal.
Right, but I don't want to blame him yet because of the films that he was attached to. They didn't ask him to do anything other than be normal. Right? He played a crippled soldier in a terrible movie.
He played
a cyborg soldier in another terrible movie. I know he's playing another soldier in another terrible movie that's coming out shortly.
Which one is that?
The one where he's a god, Clash of the
Titans. Oh, Clash of the Titans. Right. Yeah. And he's going to be in the next Mad Max film, isn't exactly he Mad Max?
Right. He's going to be Mad Max. I mean, he's just going to be playing this kind of everyman type person.
So he can be anyone.
So, hopefully Proyas will A, make a good movie.
Like knowing.
And B, demand that this man do some more with his acting. Because right now there's nothing. He's just so one note all the time. Every time he's called on to, emote, you just stand there, sit there scratching your head, wondering why they didn't get better actors to do this. But again, the movies that I've seen him in, I can't really blame him. Because even if he was Christian Bale was in Terminator Salvation. I didn't help that movie.
We must hold the chorus!
Right? Let's say if you don't leave, you're dead. You're all dead. Right? That was awesome.
And they didn't leave.
The movie was still terrible. They even got CG Arnold. And it was still bad. So I'm hoping that it's not Sam. a director can bring what... Because clearly he's been attached to like billions of films. So clearly someone sees something that I don't see. Hopefully one of these days I'll get a good performance. I'm hoping it's Mad Max, although I kind of doubt it. That's the quickest U-turn I've ever seen on a series. A series that was just phenomenal and then went absolute rubbish in like 130 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Moving on then. There's a ton of 3D news this week.
Yes.
They said that they've confirmed that Clash of the Titans will be converted to 3D, as well as the new Harry Potter films. Mm-hmm. They're also going to be doing Ghostbusters 3 in 3D and Gremlins 3 in 3D. All in 1 week, five movies technically, have become 3D films. Last week, which you didn't hear about because that episode will not come out, we spoke about 3D films.
Right.
I even wrote up an editorial on thefilmstage.com in which I spoke about 3D and how it might just be getting out of hand.
if you don't like 3D, you're pretty much screwed. ESPN is doing 3D.
You saw the TVs from CES.
Right. So, what usually happens is that the content providers are a little bit ahead of the manufacturers, and that situation has completely reversed at this point. Now all of the tech will be out long before any of the providers can get out enough content. ESPN is going to show the largest sporting event in 3D, which is the World Cup. And DirecTV has already signed on to do multiple 3D channels. There's just no avoiding it. 3D will be the next big thing in cinema.
All I'm asking, listen to me. Directors, producers, screenwriters, I don't think you have much say in this. Studio execs, it's make it a genre, not a standard.
what you fail to understand is most of the people are looking at 3D like how they looked at stereo when stereo was introduced. It's just an evolution of the medium. They don't. There's respected directors who won't take it the route that Valentine's Day 3D, like all of those horror movies that throw shit at the screen. Yeah, there's many of them that won't do that, but they're genuinely excited about 3D. Like Peter Jackson, he's planning to do all his movies from here on out in 3D.
Ah, fuck.
So The Hobbit.
Not The Hobbit. No,
it's
no.
Pretty, at this point, it's pretty much.
Oh, cock.
I mean, he and Weta and Cameron and, I mean, they're all, he's basically James Cameron.
And George Lucas wants to redo Star Wars in 3D.
I mean, all of, but what we're afraid of is that it's going to suck. But they're pretty much convinced that it won't suck. All it will do is add depth to the scene.
No.
And then if that is all, if they can achieve it, Andrew, if they can do it properly, then why not? And I'm pretty sure the more they work at it, the more it will, the medium will get better. And I'm sure there's people who will stay away from 3D for as long as humanly possible. But what people need to understand is that at this point, it's too late. If you guys didn't want to see more 3D, then you should have gone to Avatar. Avatar is going to make about $2.5 billion. There's no way you can go to a studio exec and say, I don't want anything in 3D at this point. I want to make this movie that I'm asking the studio execs for $100 million for. Any of those movies going to have to be in 3D. So only way the execs going to be like, Avatar made trillions of dollars.
Spider-Man has a budget of $80 million, so maybe it won't be in 3D.
Pretty much every big budget title from here on out, like starting 2011, pretty much guaranteed to be 3D. They're going to even stop putting like the in 3D thing. It's just going to be
passive. Sit down and enjoy.
Yeah. You need shitty glasses. Come on, sit down.
And you know what's the funniest part? I was talking to Shannon, the Movie Moxie from moviemoxie.blogspot.com, and when she saw that Avatar won Best Picture at the Globes, she was like, ah, shit, I have to go and watch this now. And I was like, you haven't seen Avatar? Why haven't? I mean, it doesn't look like any of those movies that she would avoid.
Right.
But apparently, she is incapable of seeing the
3D. Right, there's people who just, right, because it's showing two different images, it's showing a different image to each eye, and if you have poor depth perception or, I mean, there's a myriad of things that will affect your vision that will prevent you. I mean, there's not a large group of people, but it is significant, the amount of people that won't be able to see 3D. And people are screwed. I mean, it's just that simple. Same thing like with people who have that color blindness where they mix. I mean, those people, every movie is in full color, and there's no way for you to say, well, you know, I'm not going to make my movie in this color because there's a few people who won't be able to see properly and won't be able to discern red from green, so you're going to look like a giant so much green. No one cares about those people. It's sad, but no one does.
No, you see, but the thing is, I never knew that these people existed, people who just couldn't get the 3D. Like, I mean, I guess the only people who would do this are blind people. Like, I didn't know that
there was
a group of people who just, like, they can see, they're good, but that 3D thing, no, it doesn't work. So, like, for example, Avatar. I don't think I'd ever watch that in 2D. And that's what I'm afraid and that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of them making films which are gorgeous to look at and wonderful in 3D, but then once you leave the theater, it's over. You don't want to look at it again. But then again, CES is bringing out the TVs. They have the 3D Blu-rays ready to go.
3D TV that you can buy in like a month that is less than $2,000, and in a year time, I mean, it's just going to be something that you buy with your TV. There will be no workaround. We're screwed because we're in Jamaica. And, I mean, Flo just started offering HD channels.
Do you know how much they charge for the HD?
And I've heard. Ridiculous.
I remember when we got the TV, I called them to ask, you know, because I was like, I want HD. I don't care if it's Food Network. I want HD. And I was like,
$1 billion.
Like, not sorry, sir. That's not happening.
What? But 3D drives the Blu-ray spec, and that the studios want I mean, DVDs are a big portion of their how they expect to make their money. And if Blu-ray is the only way to get it properly, then they're going to push that as well, because the 3D are essentially sending the movie twice. You need essentially twice the space to put two movies on it. And so DVDs
don't
have a rough time getting that done, because they'll have to reduce the quality or put the
and the fact that the refresh rate has to be so high for a 3D film, they can't do it on DVD. It's impossible. It's,
no, I mean, if they lower the resolution, you know, they can. But I mean, people own Wii's. Wii's is the most part, and that's not in HD. So don't say people are falling
what you over what you saying about my Wii. Anyways, moving on in news. Two films were announced for reboots. Yeah. You know, our favorite thing in the world, reboots. Mortal Kombat and Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, Lord.
Like, seriously? Like, have they run out of things to reboot?
Don't you know how awesome Mortal Kombat is going to look in 3D? Can you imagine?
And actually, will be in 3D.
Of course it will be in 3D. They're like, we finally have the technology.
We can make him make faster.
Real Sub-Zero. Give me those avatar cameras. Wetter. We're booking you for 3 months. Let's get it done. I just want to hear come here and fatality. And it.
And you leave happy.
I won't leave because I'm never going to watch that. You're crazy.
You saw Dragon
Fool
Ball.
Me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on me again. Thank you, George.
You and your politics.
Wow. It's like, really? And it's Warner Brothers too. I guarantee Legendary Pictures is attached to this.
I'm sure.
Guaranteed. And once they're attached, 3D. Who can they get though? You can get Gerard Butler.
Channing Tatum. Channing Tatum,
right,
has
Gerard
to be in
Butler,
there.
Channing Tatum.
The cast of G.I. Joe. The cast of G.I. Joe.
No. Dear God.
Everyone in G.I. Joe can get a role.
I don't want Cobra Commander in. No.
But you know, it'll make you love it.
Yes. That is a problem. My bias will outweigh the shittiness of the movie.
But that's the fun. No, but think about it. Everyone who was in G.I. Joe can definitely just move over into a Mortal Kombat role. And
like,
it would work.
Wear this outfit. Oh, shit. This movie is terrible.
But anyway, Weekend at Bernie's.
Why?
This makes no sense to remake. Like, there are so many films from
it to get more funny at this point.
But you see, the thing, my worry about it is there are movies in the 80s that we love because they were in the 80s.
Yes.
And when you look back to the 80s, you laugh about
it. That's why I never look back.
But seriously, something like Weekend at Bernie's, what's the point of going back to that? That's like redoing Big. The Tom Hanks movie.
Dude, they want them to redo Harvey. This is retarded. Oh, Lord. They were going to remake Old Boy. Like, really? Nothing's going to stop them.
Don't worry, it'll happen soon.
Right? And now they have the catalyst to remake all movies. No, it's in 3D. Remember 3D? That made bajillions of dollars. Right? The 3D ticket costs more. And the number one movie of all time is 3D. We're all screwed. If you don't like 3D, you're pretty much screwed. You went to see Avatar, this is your fault.
So the next movie that's going to be in 3D, which we'll talk about,
yes,
is George Lucas wants to make a CG musical.
Yeah.
I haven't read the article.
Hopefully Star Wars. At this point, where else can he drag Star Wars? I mean, he's
Did you watch the Clone Wars movie? The CG Clone Wars movie?
I don't like Star Wars. Why would I do that to myself?
That movie was so horrible.
No, really? Really?
Do you know, I didn't know that he... Like, I knew he directed the first Star Wars, A New Hope. And I knew he didn't direct Return of the Jedi or... The Empire Strikes Back, but I did not know that he directed all of the prequels. I thought that he did like those other two and just said, I have the idea. There, I've made lightsabers for you. Go and have fun with this director. And this will be the first time in like how many years that he's actually directing a film that isn't Star Wars. The last movie that was American Graffiti, I think.
As far as we know. Does he have? I mean, it could be Indiana Jones, which would be perfect. Seen in his fate as one of the worst directors of all time. I mean, he was at the pinnacle, right? And I mean, he can still green light any movie he wants to do, but the fans, yo, you have punched your fans in the face in these movies. It's just not getting better, is it? Spent too much time alone on that ranch.
Well, another news item, which we've kind of spoken about a little bit already, is that Avatar has kind of unofficially taken the America out of the recession.
Yeah.
They've broken the international record for money made by a film. It's at $1.8 billion now.
They actually called Obama. Apparently, they're out of the recession.
Wow, dude. I mean, I didn't know that extra $5 per ticket stretched so far.
The second the movie opened and I realized that it had a big opening, I knew this was going to happen.
No, but it's been like every week since it's been opened, right. it's won the box office in America.
Because this is James Cameron, and he knows, he's a master of creating eye porn. That's right. It's visual porn. I mean, he knows how to do it, right? That's why you shouldn't, I mean, one of these days Fox is really going to get hammered, right? Because he's going to dream up some other extravagant idea that's going to cost him a bajillion, and he's going to like not get it quite right. And Fox won't be able to say anything because he's made them one man, right? Two movies, almost $4 billion. It's ridiculous, right? The man's a genius at this point. You just have to go with whatever he wants, wherever he wants to go. He's going to put out Avatar.
So next year when he announced that he's doing the sequel to Dragon Ball.
At this point.
Or he's doing the sequel to Chun-Li.
Again.
Nothing just, else to
you,
say.
You just have to go with him. Well, man, he always bet on black, always bet on camera.
Sure. So when Cameron announces, I have this idea, you just say, tell me how much you need. Okay. I'll give you what I can.
I don't think they look at the checks anymore. What's that? You need money? Talk to her.
Go down to the checking the accounting department to just tell them no more.
I'm sure the Fox executives go down to accountants. Where the hell is $300 million? What is going on here? What is going on? It's just three. Where? Oh, James Cameron, never. You need to scribble at you, like pencil. James Cameron,
all right, fair. And with that, I guess we can move into the trailers of the week. I saw this trailer, City Island.
Why don't we have a big home-cooked dinner tonight? You know, something special.
You want balloons or something?
No, I don't want balloons or something. I'm just saying something nice.
When don't I make it nice?
Make something nicer!
Make it yourself! Great communicator.
Before we go out, I'd like to thank my beautiful wife, Joycey, for this special dinner that she prepared. And I'd like to welcome Tony to our table.
So, Vince tells me that he was friends with his mother.
Long time ago, I guess.
I guess so, because I never heard about it.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
With Andy Garcia. Yes. Can't remember anyone else in it.
And some other
some other people. And I wasn't really impressed.
Right. It looks cliche and a little racist, but also looks kind of fun. And I am biased with Mr. Garcia.
Really?
I really am. It's kind of sad because he has let me down
many times.
But I'm still biased. I can't help myself. But it looks kind of fun. It looks like a dark comedy.
A dark comedy. Did you see that impression of Marlon Brando he was attempting to do? Is that dark?
Not Coen Brothers dark. But I can't help myself. Andy Garcia is in it and he's playing this crazy character and I want to see it. That's pretty much it. I mean, if you watch the trailer and don't like it, I won't argue. There's nothing to argue. But I'm still going to see this. I don't, like, honestly, I really don't know why I have this affinity towards Andy Garcia without anything I see him in, I watch.
I really liked him in Godfather 3. I think that movie is highly underrated. People trash on it for, like, I don't know why.
Because it took too long and it wasn't as impressive as the other two. I mean, it's not.
No, I agree. John it's Lucas. Not. It's not Godfather 2 or 1, and it's not.
John Lucas, Father Grace. And people try to overblow shit, but and it was a bit long. But it's,
I loved it.
It's a good movie. People need to relax.
I remember during Godfather 3, I remember when the parade, and you saw Andy Garcia in the police officer suit. That scene, I loved him in. I love that scene.
I mean, the movies are phenomenal. Coppola knew what he was doing.
I want the Blu-ray restorations. Damn it, why haven't I gotten them yet?
No, because they're waiting on 3D.
Fuck you.
Can't wait for long.
So my problem with 3D is I don't know why you have to throw out 2D.
Because 3D is better. Same reason we throw out mono, because stereo is better. And we throw out SD because HD was better.
Yeah, but...
And we're going to throw out HD because 4K is better. And 3D is better. It's just progress. Hmm? Next you're going to ask, you know, why we're moving towards solar energy. Hmm? Is that it? Grandpa? Is that where we're going? Stop using computers. Go back to your abacus. Your backwards.
And that was brought to you by our friends over at Apple.
Yep. The iPad.
I think someone said in the chat room, I haven't read this, said that the iPad is going to be 3D compatible.
With what?
I don't know.
You're a cokehead. It's impossible. Let me tell you now. There's no way. Just relax. It will barely run HD at 720p. Alright, so just calm down. Doesn't even do Flash. Because Steve Jobs has issues with Flash.
Oh, that was a joke. Oh, I didn't know. I don't get humor. Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Clearly. You're on half D.
Moving on, another trailer we saw this week was the new Duplass Brothers trailer that premiered at Sundance this year, Cyrus.
My ex-wife, she's getting remarried, but I'm fine with it.
Well, yeah, I overheard your speech over there on the couch.
Oh,
well, I thought it was really honest.
Are you flirting with me? I'm like Shrek. What are you doing? What are you doing here in the forest?
I didn't say that.
Shrek.
There was a
time. I know I'm not supposed to say this, but I really like you. Is it crazy for me to say I wanted to work out? She's amazing. Man, I can't believe how deep into it I am.
I love being with you.
Hey, guys.
Whoa.
Sorry for interrupting you.
She has a grown son.
Oh my God.
I'm Cyrus. To John, our new friend. So, are you going to stay the night?
I haven't had a man over since Cyrus was born.
It's great to finally have a new dad. Night, John.
Actually, your mom's in the shower. What are you doing?
The light is hitting your hair in this great way. It's like a crippled tree reaching for heaven.
The kid seems really weird. He was messing with me.
You're paranoid.
You're out of your league. I will knock you out.
With Jonah Hill, John C. Reilly, and Catherine Keener and Marissa Tomei. It's right. The first time they're getting to work with huge actors. Somewhat of a budget. I haven't actually seen any of the Duplass Brothers movies. I told myself I want to watch The Puppeteer this week. I didn't get around to it. Have you seen any of their films?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No. But I've heard they're like huge in like the mumblecore genre and the indie shoot with a little camera.
And that is exactly why I've not seen it.
And this movie, like, I don't know exactly how the process went, if they went into their mumblecore process or they decided since they're finally getting money and people behind this, they're going to go strict to script kind of deal. But it did look very planned out in what we were seeing in the trailer with the story. Yeah. I mean, there were moments that you could see that they possibly were riffing, like when John C. Reilly was at the party singing and all sorts of madness. But it doesn't look that interesting to me for some reason.
I mean, outside of the fact that the story looks really cliche, I'm not a fan of any of the actors in this movie.
You don't like Jonah Hill?
Not even Jonah Hill. I'm not a fan of Jonah Hill at all. I mean, he...
Not even Catherine Keener? I like Catherine Keener.
He's Jonah Hill in everything. He is. He's never been...
There's well, I mean, most of the movies he's in, you've seen him in our all the Apatow films, where he's been...
I have problems with seeing the same...
What about Accepted? You didn't like him in Accepted?
Is the same issue that I have with his other friend. Right? I'm not blanking on it.
Who? I need so many possibilities of who to name.
Arrested Development.
Sarah?
Right. The same problem that I have with Sarah, I'm having with him. Where
Overload,
he's the same guy in every single movie. He's not even pretending to be someone else. Right? And there's only so many times that I laugh at someone doing the same stuff before I go, this is really boring. And in this trailer, the second I saw him and the second he was doing the same thing, I went, this movie's going to be really boring. Michael C. I mean, and no one else in this movie. He would have been the only person that I'd have liked. Everyone else, no. Everything I see them in, I'm not really big fans of.
John C. Reilly's a hit or miss kind of guy for me. Like, there are some movies that I really loved him in. Like, for example, I loved him in Step Brothers.
There's movies that I like that he's in, but it's not because of him.
But then there are movies that I definitely hate. Like, for example, Criminal. Like, that movie...
For me, Step Brothers.
Really?
I hate that movie. Absolutely.
Talladega Nights, I loved. He was in that as well.
Yeah, but I didn't love it because of him. He's in the movie, but he's not why I like the movie.
But, like, Jonah Hill, I've loved in all his films. Yeah, I get that he does the same kind of guy, you know, the same guy in all of his movies, but I think that has to do with the fact that all of his movies have been with Apatow. And Apatow has allowed him to be him for those movies.
Will you continue to find that funny?
On number 15, I guess I'll get bored. But for now, I'm enjoying it, and I'll keep enjoying it until one day I decide not to anymore.
I guess you have like a higher threshold.
I do, I guess. You know, I've watched Three Amigos all my life. Like every year, I sit down and watch Three Amigos. That movie still makes me laugh.
No, there's a difference between watching the same movie over and over and watching different movies with the same character in them. Right? It just feels sad. Like they're leaning on that character too much.
And can I tell you? I got a Step Brothers kind of vibe. That's going to be happening between Riley and Jonah Hill, like that first half of Step Brothers before they became friends. And it just looks odd.
And you like Step Brothers and saying that it's odd. This movie does look like Step Brothers to me, and I didn't like Step Brothers at all. So this movie, it just doesn't look... It's not my...
Cup of tea.
I mean, hopefully... The movie is good. I will change my mind.
For some reason, Cup of Tea just reminded me. This week I watched Aziz Ansari's stand-up. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what he titled it. But he has this joke where he's saying something and he's like, well, you know, that's just not my cup of tea because I don't like huge pieces of shit in my tea. You know, that guy's funny.
Speaking of funny people live, obviously...
Still haven't watched it.
Oh, despite me, because you know it's better. You don't want that here. You know it.
That's what I'm doing, totally. Moving on into our main review this week.
That's only two trailers?
That's all I could find, unless there's something else.
There was Mother.
I didn't watch it. You can talk about it. You can talk. I haven't watched it.
Kind of defeats the purpose. Yeah. Scene on scene podcast.
Mother, it's Asian, and it's by that guy who did a piece. Wasn't it the guy who did one of the parts in Tokyo? Bong Joon, what him name?
Sure, I hate Tokyo.
The one who did the last part, the one that you liked. Yeah, it was the part that you liked.
He also did Host.
I haven't watched Host.
That movie is fun. And this movie, it looks like a proper thriller. It looks Hitchcock-esque. So Andrew won't like it. It looks good.
I love North by Northwest. Have you watched North by Northwest
yet? No, Andrew, I've never seen it. Of course I have.
I thought you said at one point that you hadn't watched it, so I'm sorry. I'll sit in my corner.
In the 4 weeks, do you think that it came out on Blu-ray? Of course I've seen it. You know my excuse after that? Oh, it's out on Blu-ray. Thank God. Purchase. Alright, so we're going into our
Das Boot!
The real reason Douglas isn't here is because he started watching this movie yesterday and actually takes
a long
24
time.
Years to get done.
There are three versions of this film. There's the theatrical cut, which is 2.5 hours. There's the director's cut, which is 3 hours and 20 minutes, which is the version I watched. And there's the uncut version, which is like 400 minutes, I think.
It's a show to prisoners to pass the time.
And you watch this version. Have you seen all versions?
No, I saw the director's cut once. Because that's, I don't have enough time in my lifetime to watch it.
Sure. Yet you've watched Ikiru around 10 times, and that's 2.5 hours, so that works out in two.
This movie is like 100 hours. Days go by, I grew a beard, I had children, got married and divorced. This movie is long.
You chose this film, yes. Technically, so why don't you tell the people what this is about?
Das Boot means the boat. I know this because Wikipedia told me so.
I actually found out through IMDb.
And the internet doesn't lie, damn it. So the boat is not about a boat at all. This is about a submarine. So it's about a fleet. Well, no, it's not about a fleet. It's about
a boat.
Group of people. Well, a crew, not fleet. Submarine crew who are sent on a mission to stop the invading UK forces. They need to stop them out in the water. And so they're sent there to do that. That is pretty much what the movie is about. And for those of you who have seen The Hurt Locker and like The Hurt Locker because it feels like a more realistic, down-to-earth depiction of war, this movie is, I am convinced, an actual depiction of war.
They actually went out with a submarine.
Because it takes, you feel like you served the time after you watch the movie. The movie is really long, as we've been saying, and it is uncompromising. This movie is very gritty, and there is a lot of tension interspersed throughout the movie, and it is broken up by absolute tedium. They show you exactly what happens when you go out in a submarine. Submarines don't dogfight, and they take a long time to get anywhere and to do anything. And between the times that they're fighting and holding on for their lives when they're being bombed, these guys are young guys, and when you leave young men in a confined area for a long period of time,
they grow beards.
They tend to dream of madness. And that is exactly, the movie, if you can imagine what spending 4 months out in the open water,
4 months, confined space. That thing looked like it was 8 at least.
Confined space. If you can imagine that, you don't need to watch this movie. But if you can't, wait till you're on contract break. Start when you go on contract break. And by the time the movie is done, you'll be 3 weeks late for work.
I think we've made enough jokes about the length of the film.
I watched the uncut version because I'm stupid. I'm bold. 9 hours. It's ridiculous.
Hold on. You said you had seen this a while back. Right. The director's cut.
I'd seen the director.
How long ago?
On the movie channel.
Like you sat down through the whole film, right, or?
It could not have been more than 4. I was still in.
Oh, so you knew you were getting into.
Right. I knew. I mean, I started watching this movie one night late. Like, I woke up late and it was going on. And when I was finished watching the movie, the sun was coming up. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, this... But the movie is really engrossing. So you don't... You know the movie's long because you see the sun coming and going. But you're never bored throughout the movie. It is really engrossing. And you care about what happens to all of these characters. And you appreciate, you know, what these people went through. And you kind of understand that, A, not all Nazis were horrible people. Some of them were just doing a job, right? I'm sure if you ask the people in Afghanistan to do a movie about Americans, they won't pay them in a nice light, right? All the information we have about Nazis came from the Western perspective, right? They're evil bastards that... And rendering, but this movie tries to stay impartial. They just tell you what it is that these guys had to do, right? It was a job, and it was a terrible, terrible job, and that is why they invented nuclear missiles to avoid people having to actually do this anymore. This is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And I love this, I loved it the first time, and even after 9 days of watching it again.
I love how that number gets bigger and bigger each time. I watched this movie last night and today. It took me 2 days to actually sit through the director's cut. I did not watch the... accidentally, I got a DVD which only had the English dub. So I watched it dubbed instead of subtitled. And can I tell you, I was so happy for it when I was watching. Because I know we have this rule and snobby, throw up our nose, screw dubs. But last night when I was feeling so tired, I knew if I was reading subtitles, there's no way I would have watched any of this film.
Oh my brain. So tired.
So I was quite happy to be watching it dubbed this time around.
I remember when people start telling about English dubbed anime. Telling me that it's better.
I was watching this film and I agree with you on point. It's hideously long. It took me 10 days to watch this film. But you can totally see how uncompromising the filmmaking was and how true to life it had to be.
Crazy. He's crazy.
This is the first film I've ever seen from him. I think. Oh, by the way, who is the guy playing the lead, the captain? He looks like a famous dude who does.
I cannot remember. I wrote down the name, but I don't know where I put it. He's a famous dude.
We have IMDb here.
Exactly.
Jürgen, I won't try to pronounce that.
He's
in 24.
A lot of things.
Okay, he's in 24. He's in the Da Vinci Code, okay, so...
He's always the bad dude.
Because he's a Nazi.
He's German.
I didn't really enjoy it, though. I could see all of the good things about...
It's not to be enjoyed. There is nothing enjoyable. You know, come on and say... Oh, it's a good movie.
You see, when I watched Ikiru, I knew it was slow and long. But when I left, right. I was like, I enjoyed that.
Right. But that
when I watched Lord of the Rings Extended Cut. Right.
But those movies were dealing with other themes. Ikiru was dealing with the theme of hope. And Lord of the Rings, it was essentially the same thing. Heroes overcoming in all adversity. And Wolfgang was aiming to show you what exactly
how it sucks to live on a submarine.
How terrible it is. He was giving you a slice of life of something that 99% of the world will never actually have to go through. And he was uncompromising with that vision. I'm glad that some crazy studio gave him enough money to do this, because this movie must have been really expensive.
And I mean, the fact that he was allowed to shoot so much.
When you see some of the shots that he does, like setting up those cameras to go through the submarine itself, right? Because there are shots where the guys are going through like the little holes and thing, and the camera is right behind them. That could not have been easy.
I think sometimes when I saw those shots, I was like, okay, this is Wolfgang saying, I've bored you enough here, have something quick to look at.
Because what? Whole movies?
One character that I definitely loved a lot was the engineer. Johan, I think, is his name.
Like, all of
them. And there was this one thing that kind of struck me in the movie, early on in the movie, before they go out to sea.
Okay.
One of the, I guess, lower-ranked people comes up to the captain and says, Captain, I was molested today. And, you know, for a second, you think to yourself, in regular war movies, he says, you mean initiated. In all war movies, whenever you see crews or gangs or all of these groups in a war, you always have this initiation process of people who come into an already made group, right? But then you realize, for after a minute or so, that he really was molested. And then it made it even funnier later on when the crew doctor on the ship was like, ha ha, you have crabs.
Yep. I mean, this movie is not to be enjoyed. I was never the aim.
Apparently... Jade Ryan in the chat room is saying that Wikipedia says the movie cost $14 million in the 80s to make.
What does that work out to be like? Akajin.
must be in today's... It cost more than Avatar.
Did he buy a submarine? A submarine was like 100,000. And then buy part of the ocean for $2 million.
But you know what? I was thinking about totally for the first few hours of the film, because it goes on a while. I was thinking about submarines and submarine films, and there are not that many that I've seen. Like, we can talk about Wes Anderson's movie, but that was really on a boat, and there was really just one scene underwater, submarine kind of scene. But the only one that comes to mind... Oh, Hunt for Red October, and there's that other one with Denzel. But I can't really remember those, to tell the honest truth. I've seen them so long ago. But the one that really comes to mind, which I haven't watched in a long time, and I know is probably a bad film, but I have good childhood memories of it.
Of course.
Is Down Periscope.
I've never seen Down.
It's a comedy about a submarine with Kelsey Grammer as the captain.
Wow.
Rob Schneider is in the crew. along with
There's
other
no
people. No, I know it probably is horrible, but I have happy childhood memories of this movie. And I was sitting down and I was watching this film and I was like, underwater isn't that good or isn't interesting at all.
Hello, from Planet Earth. Have you seen Planet Earth?
I don't think so.
You should get that. If you want to show off how Blu-ray looks, you need to get. But there's cool shit underwater. There's just not cool shit when you're dealing with people fighting. It's the same reason that a lot of people didn't get into like Star Trek.
Yeah,
because
those are basically submarine naval films.
Are boring. They are boring.
Can't wait for Battleship.
It's going to be in 3D.
So you'll have something to look at.
I mean, this movie is grim and fun at the same time, because there a lot of time is spent with just the crew being juvenile, and they're just really silly because there's nothing else to do. You can't be serious with so much waste people. And then when danger comes and they're put in these situations, the acting is so well done that you feel. I mean, his use of music in this movie and his ability to create tension is just astounding. Because you think, you know, 18 hours into the movie, you're bored and falling asleep. Whenever something dramatic happens, it will just slow down the movie even more, but it doesn't. This movie, you probably shouldn't watch the uncut version. ever. should stick with the director. I wanted to see the uncut to see what was different in it. Apparently there's like 12 hours of extra footage, so I don't think they could put this movie on a DVD.
No, it'll be like Apocalypse Now. I have the Apocalypse Now on DVD, and they have that on two discs. Right. So you have to, when you're done halfway through, you have to swap the discs.
Much better than tape.
Yes. I remember when my cousin had Titanic on VHS, and they had, it was a double VHS package.
Wow.
But talking about tension, like one scene that really struck me in Das Boot, which was really cool, was when they were like at the bottom of the they were deep down, they went beyond their supposed limit, and there was sonar going on and off, and you could hear ping, and like it seemed like these guys didn't have sonar themselves, they just had their own little wonky device, and you just went ping, 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 and then you heard the captain going, "Fuck yeah, I know you're there." just getting frustrated with his scenario and everything. But I have to tell you, hats off to this guy, because I was bored to tears, but I couldn't help but applaud for the ending. I was so happy when the movie ended. Not when it hit the end credits, but that scene before the end credits. I won't give it away for the people who haven't seen it or aren't interested, because it's really out of the blue, kind of. Even though, if you know your history, you'll believe it. It just made me happy. I was like, yes, that's what happens.
The Nazis. The Nazis. Brad Pitt shot up the submarine. And Tarantino was on the other side, and I went to heaven. Tarantino proved that in Inglourious Basterds.
And I guess that's really it. This movie, what would you give it?
No, I'm very biased. I really, really enjoy this movie.
Hand us your bias.
Despite being...
is it a rental or buy?
No, this is a buy. You have to own this movie.
Which version?
If the director's cut.
The director's cut. Personally, I'm going to have to give this a rent. I've only seen the director's cut, so that's the version I'm going to recommend.
If you rent it, you'd have it for so long that the people that see that you're taking the movie...
You could not finish it if you rent it.
And you need to return this in a week. Are you returning the movie? What the hell? I just started watching.
Like 3 days ago. It's been a while. I'm still watching.
It won't end. It's not my fault. Blame Wolfgang. Bastard. You did this to me. My wife left me. She took the kids.
And that's the end of our podcast, people. Thanks for listening. This is Andrew.
And this is Damien.
You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. You can find me at gmanreviews.com, twitter.com/gmanreviews, and also you can find my writings at thefilmstage.com.
Talk about podcasts, Ali.
You can find the podcast itself through iTunes or the podcast, Ali. There are links in the post, or you can just search for the Unnamed Movie Podcast. You'll find
give
it.
Us reviews.
Please. Pretty please.
No, not really.
Man, you're supposed to go with the cherry and all the whole deal. Anyways, thanks for listening and good night.